100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. It is Thursday, June 3rd. I don't know why I felt like saying May. We done passed that month. Yes, I know. June 1st was the start of, you know what, hurricane season. Got plenty to get into, though, today on today's show. That doesn't have to do with hurricanes, but it does have to do, obviously, with NBA playoffs, college baseball, and many, many other different topics, including a league that has to do with football that's been gone quite some time that actually had a home in New Orleans, the USFL. We'll talk about that here coming up in a little bit as well. On the show today, coming up next segment, Ali Kosel, as we will touch on the NBA playoffs. Two games tonight, Nuggets and Trailblazers coming up 7 o'clock over on TNT. Then at 9:30, Suns and Lakers. Oh, yeah. Suns and Lakers. L.A. facing elimination. AD's going to see if he can go tonight for the game. It's game six, right? So I'm expecting something pretty interesting, no say the least, once we get going here tonight. And let's see how this game's going to go. I'm excited to look at it and see if the Suns can close out. Did have a couple of closeouts yesterday in the NBA as the Mavs beat the Clippers to get to within one game themselves there, which is crazy. No home team has won a game in the series as the Mavs beat the Clippers. Luka, 42 points, 14 assists, 105-100. 105-100 was the final score there as they now take a 3-2 series lead. Luka, 42 points, just having a tremendous playoff. Here's what he had to say after the game.
I mean, I could have played way better, you know. I missed a lot of shots, some layups that I should have made. But it wasn't just me, man. It was the whole team, the energy. Dora was unbelievable. DP, I mean, Dwight Powell with his energy. KP with a big shot. Timmy with a big shot, you know. And the whole team was just there bringing up the energy.
So, yeah, they look pretty impressive there as L.A., one game away from being eliminated on one side of the building in that same stadium because, as we said, the Lakers could be eliminated tonight. Also, yesterday, Hawks defeating the Knicks 103-89, eliminating and knocking out the Knicks. They're done. That series ends in a 4-1 Atlanta win. Trae Young, 36 points for him on the night, and Trae took a bow at the end. Had an amazing performance. Remember, the ugliness of, you know, F you, Trae, in one, I guess you can sort of say it's ugliness, or, you know, what the crowd is. The ugliness came in game two when he was spit on by somebody from the second row. Cool moment, though, yesterday at the end. If you listen to the end of the game, Marv Albert getting back the chance to call a game in MSG, where obviously made his name, and as he's retiring at the end of this year. But this is the end of the call.
And here comes the standing ovation in appreciation of the next season. As Young fires from way downtown and takes a bow.
Here's Trae Young at his finest right here. A step back 30-footer in the appropriate, you are in the garden, you might as well take a bow.
Took a bow right afterwards. Why did he do it?
I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over. So that's pretty much what it was. So
get this, right? There's only one other player that has gone into Madison Square Garden and had three straight games or 30 points or more. You might have heard of him, Michael Jordan. That's it. Only opposing player to go in there and in three straight games have 30 points or more. So lots of people talking about that series and really his just stepping up to another level of stardom, obviously, and ready for that moment. We said there was going to be Chippy in that game. There's something I want to talk to Ali about next segment as well from the Bird Rights. Because, again, we do look at some of these playoff series and playoff matchups and playoff games through Pelicans glasses, as I like to say, or Pelican eyes. Remember David Griffin talking about, hey, we failed Zion when he got hurt because he got fouled so much. And I said, look, if you want to take that approach as an organization and say we could have done more, could have made the league do that, that's one thing. There's other areas on that. A, him. Right? I mean, we've seen players, again, we just referenced one in Michael Jordan. You fouled him hard, he popped right back up and shoved you. The other I mentioned at that time of that press conference and days following was, where are your teammates? I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but it opens up the highlights. If you watch the highlights today about the game last night when they're talking about the Hawks and Knicks. At halftime, Trae Young's walking off, right? So the Hawks are going one way, the Knicks are going one way. Nerlens Noel, I don't know if he did it or Trae Young did it, or he wasn't looking, he was looking down. Anyway, Young's right elbow, shoulder makes contact with Nerlens Noel's right shoulder as well. They're coming in opposite direction, right? Trae Young's going from your 6 o'clock to 12, and Noel's coming from your 12 to 6. So he's walking towards the camera. Young's walking away from the camera. They connect. You know, shoulder bump. I mean, maybe a second later, one of his teammates, he has a warm-up on. I don't know who he is. I apologize. Absolutely lays a right shoulder into Noel. I mean, wakes him the bleep up. Right? Noel's kind of looking back, so like, yeah, I got you. And Trae Young's teammate absolutely laid a shoulder into Noel. Right then and there, they had to get separated. The referees come. But that's what I'm talking about right there. That's your guy. Whether Young initiated or not, I'm walking. I see somebody lay a shoulder into that guy. His teammate came right at it and laid a shoulder into Noel accidentally, quote unquote. That's what I'm talking about, though. Like, that's one way to prevent your guy from getting fouled and showing you got his back. So, again, I know I talked about it and there were some people saying, I don't know what you're talking about or and all that, but there was an instance yesterday, yes, literally, walking off the court. And yes, that series had been contentious and chippy just at halftime. Just at halftime. Three technical fouls, one flagrant, and 16 personal fouls at the half. So, yeah, you know, I told you it was going to be one that you got your popcorn, that you knew both teams were going to come to fight. I mean, Clint Capella, who had a double-double, by the way, 14 points, 15 rebounds, promised victory, and said you were going home. I love that. I love that from Trae Young. You know, it's a place that has shows, Broadway. You bow when it's time to go home, and the Knicks are going home. I love that. But we'll talk a little bit about that there as well. Another series closed out yesterday. And, well, two more. Philly closes out the Wizards 129-112. Bradley Beal, 32 points. Tobias Harris had 28 points. Russell Westbrook, I love what he says here. Was the season a failure, was the question.
Nobody quit. And to me, that showed so much when you have a group of guys that when everybody said that we weren't able to do something and got challenged, and I challenged everybody in the locker room. Nobody quit. Nobody gave up. Nobody gave in. You know, we got a lot of guys on this team, man, that I'm just proud of overall, that teams didn't want. They were third guys, G League guys, first year guys that nobody else wanted. And we put together a team that people wasn't afraid to play us, honestly. And, you know, that's something we should be proud of. And, I'm super proud of everybody in the locker room and just thankful to be able to have a group of guys that embraced me, so well, you know, from day one.
Love that. They did absolutely not quit. 15 games under 500 at one point in the season when Westbrook made a speech that he just referenced right there, and he told the guys we're not missing the playoffs. Again, just I'm just trying to create the gumbo that's needed, the recipe for the gumbo that's needed for this Pelicans team to take that next step, right? Let's do a dash or a hefty shake of Russell Westbrook's leadership, and you're seeing these teams, even though they lose in the first round, there's things you can take from it, as in the other closed out series in which the Jazz defeated the Grizzlies and knocked them out. They won the series 4-1. It's something I'm going to talk to Ali about next segment. Guard play. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points. And for Mitchell, He played in four games. Remember the controversy that he wanted to play. His personal trainer cleared him to play in game one. Jazz doctor's like, nah. He blew up publicly. Since then, game two, 25. Game three, 29. Game four, 30. And then last night, 30. So 25, 29, 30, and 30. That's Donovan Mitchell. In all of the wins, by the way, for the Jazz. Ja Morant for the Grizzlies. They lose 27 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. The Jazz and its fan base have gotten, in rightfully so, a lot of beef for some of the things that Jazz fans say. You remember earlier in the series, Ja Morant's dad was being subjected to absolutely racially insensitive comments, like, I'll put a nickel on your back so you can dance type stuff. Like, that's what he said. So I'm assuming, just like everyone here outside of that area read that, it was kind of classy, or at the very least, the least you can do, right? And appreciation. When he walked off the court yesterday, you saw a standing ovation, and he recognized the crowd there. And again, a bad apple's a bad apple, unfortunately, and I know that place has sort of had a lot of bad apples, but this is the audio that he posted on his Twitter timeline. He's walking off the court. As he gets closer to the end, you'll hear the applause get bigger. As he goes towards the tunnel, taps his chest, and he, you know, congratulates him. And there's a reason probably as well that he do that. In his first career playoff, again, the player selected after Zion Williamson, he averaged in his first career playoffs 30.2 points per game, 8.2 assists per game, and he shot 48.7% from the field. It's not bad for your first ever playoff game. Now, you went home 4-1 taking on the top seed, but again, that's why there were so many people that cover the Pelicans and Pelicans fans that wanted this team in, whether it's the play-in game, whether it's a legit seed or whatever it was. You've got to get that play-in experience, because you look at Ja Morant's timeline, wait till next season. You know, this was year two. Wait till next year. We're back. We're coming back. Julius Randle yesterday after the Knicks got closed out. We're coming back. You've got to have that, as I mentioned yesterday when I had Graf on. In the NBA, I can't think of a better sport that represents the gradual graduation to the chance to win a championship. You have to go to the postseason and lose. It just forges you. I don't know how else to really say it. Very rarely will you have a first-year team that gets in there, makes a deep run, and wins a championship. But you saw that. So now you have a lot of these young guys, Trae Young into the second round, Ja Morant, Donovan Mitchell. How important was closing out that series to him? That's what he had to say.
It was just like, man, like, I haven't done this since my rookie year, you know, and I feel like for me personally, and, you know, it's just something that I've wanted to accomplish, but it's not the end goal, but it's definitely something you appreciate along the way. And we did, like I said, we did what we were supposed to do, but at the end of the day, you got to appreciate where you're at too, because you can get lost in the shuffle of everything. So understanding, doing it in front of the home crowd, is big time, but the job's not done, and we got to continue to go out there and fight. But for me personally, I think it's a moment that I'll enjoy for the night, and then get ready to play whoever it is next round.
Yeah. So again, it's just interesting to kind of look at these postseason games and kind of maybe take some things, extrapolate from it, and see what the Pels are going to need. Again, Luka, dominant performance last night, right? 42 points. Donovan Mitchell's not going anywhere. Dame time with 55 in a loss. So you better have guard play. We're going to talk about that with Ali Cosell coming up next segment. Let's up the rest of the show for you. Chris Blair will join us at 12:30 for City LSU Tigers, hanging out over in Eugene, Oregon today. Go follow him on Twitter timeline at LSU Tigers Voice. He's literally just walking around town taking pictures of things. He woke up in the 50s this morning out there as well. Sean Fox is going to join us from Rustin Monroe Sports Talk Radio up there. Tech, first time ever, they're hosting a regional. And you know what? Maybe we've kind of forgotten a little bit about it. I haven't touched on it that much. McNeese State, they're in a regional as well this weekend. So a couple Louisiana teams, three in postseason play starting tomorrow. We'll talk to Sean Fox as what it was like up there this past weekend and hosting the Conference USA tournament and now hosting a regional for the first time ever. Head coach Nate Osborne joins us on Thursdays at 1:15. Coach, head coach of your Norla Gold, they get ready to take on Atlanta on Saturday. And John Forque is going to join us at 1:45 because he actually played in the USFL. And it's coming back. Fox Sports is going to be their main television partner. They have a minority equity in the league as well. But yes, the USFL. Remember the New Orleans Breakers? I do. I remember going to their practice facility out there in Kenner. And I remember the logo, the team, the football, all of that. So they're coming back, and they're looking to come back next year. And hour number three, touch them all, Timmy Grubbs. We'll talk Major League Baseball. Leo Haggerty will join us at 2:30 as well. And also, forgot there, at 2:05, Carlos Medina from Atlanta. Got a lot to talk about. Arthur Smith yesterday, the head coach of the Falcons. He said we'll find out. We'll see where we are next week. It's a foregone conclusion, it looks like now, that Julio Jones will be traded. Who will he be traded to? We'll ask him that and his thoughts on Trae Young and, you know, the city of Atlanta. They're excited about the Hawks going into the second round. So that's your show. We'll take a break. We come back. Ali Kosel from the Bird Rights. Don't forget, hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Is approaching, and so are the red hot deals.
Red hot deals
at Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance, or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma, Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
It's Mike DiTiglia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingale here for Men's Total Health. With the new year comes new resolutions. One of them needs to be visit Men's Total Health. Low T can produce physical and emotional changes. Get tested. I did. See where you stand. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, help with ED, even IV therapy. Visit Men's Total Health today, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call or go online at menstotalhealth.net and let them know the Sports Hangover.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Dodge, it's left to right. Dragging left. Stepping back. Straight away. Three. Good! 12-point game. Dodge with 40.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Chuck Cooperstein with the call there. We bring in Mr. Ollie Cosell, who's been enjoying the playoffs as well as we have as well, at OLEHKOSEL on Twitter. He's the editor-in-chief of the Bird Rights. Sir, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gus. How are you, bud?
Doing fine, man. On display, huh? These young guards, man. I mean, look, it and a lot of these guys getting their first real honest-to-goodness taste. I know there were playoffs last year, but there's fans now, there's attention, there's drama, there's shoulders being laid into people. Let's just start with that one right there in the highlight. Are you surprised by the way the Mavs have played against the Clippers?
No. I think a lot of us, including myself, favored Luka Doncic should be possibly the MVP this year, right? Before
really?
The season
yeah.
began. Mm-hmm. That's who I had predicted. And I also thought the Mavericks would finish in the top four in the West. I thought they were ready to make the leap after what we saw in the last playoff. So, no, this isn't a surprise. But what is kind of a surprise is how that series has bounced back and forth, where the winner's always on the away court. So I don't know what to make of that so far. But, look, no, one thing for sure, you need to have a Luka Doncic. You need to have a galvanizing leader, preferably at a guard spot. Because look at the remaining teams. Look at the teams that have done well this year. John Morant getting in with Memphis. Look what Trae Young has done to the Knicks. I thought that was going to be the only competitive series in the East in the first round. Trae Young and the Hawks just dismantled the Knicks. So, Luka Doncic, for me, he might be the best player right now in the league. I mean, I know that's saying a lot, the way LeBron's playing. He's still coming off the ankle injury. I don't think Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets are just the same without Jamal Murray. And Luka's doing it all on himself, yeah. right? Chris Stapps has not done anything in these playoffs so far. I mean, outside of Tim Hardaway making some threes and a few other guys, it's been all Luka.
Ali, I've seen more tweets about how bad Porzingis has actually looked and played. It's really interesting as to what's happened with him, because he always looked great when it came to playing the Pelicans. But anyway, let's just run through it, because you mentioned him and Murray not being there with Denver. So he's a young guy. Damian Lillard, 55 points, even though they lost. Donovan Mitchell, emotional yesterday about how much that meant to him. He's young. Let's just stay in the West and then we'll get to the East. But man, you look at this Ja Morant. I mentioned the guy averaged in the postseason for him. He averaged 30.2 points per game, 8.2 assists per game in his first playoff. He's already tweeting, "I can't wait for next year." Ollie, you better have a backcourt if you're the Pels, man. You gotta have a scorer at the shooting guard or point guard position. I don't care who it is. If you don't, you are coming into a gun battle with a knife fight.
Yeah, I think all of us figured that out last year, not even a month into the season, right? Eric Bledsoe, disappointment. Lonzo Ball, inconsistent. Even though, you know, Lonzo had his flashes with the three ball, right? At least he was giving you something, I felt like, on both ends every once in a while, as to where Eric did not. And you just can't do that in today's NBA. Absolutely not. I'm such a huge fan of Donovan Mitchell. Besides Luka, Donovan might be the second best player in the NBA playoffs. And for the Pelicans, who do you point to that you can rely on for 30-plus minutes to give you something every night? There's nobody in the backcourt. Nobody. You hope that Nikhil will be the guy. You definitely hope that Kyra could grow into somebody special, right? We've seen kind of the bits and pieces of how he looks comparable to Aaron Fox. But until they do, they don't have anybody at the moment. Right. And that's a big problem. So, yeah, I don't know where they're going to go. Free agency has a couple of good veteran guys, but the Pelicans aren't likely going to have the cap space, right, to chase a Chris Paul, Mike Conley. Lowry. So I don't know where you go other than either you got to take a chance on Lonzo and then get a score next to him, or you can somehow get a trade to bring in somebody.
It's interesting you say that. Lots of fans yesterday making virtual trades when Boston was making their moves and decisions. Please bring in Jaylen Brown or all these other things. But, you know, you brought up and you sort of mentioned, Chris, and I want to talk to you quickly about it because you and I have talked about who's the MVP. And I don't know about you, but if they close out the Lakers today and he has an impact like he has in all of their wins, the case is closed. I mean, I know they got Booker and everything, but you see the difference. But again, that's experience. That's leadership on the court. Something else that this team sort of has been missing when it comes to the Pels. And that's the thing that's my fear. These young guys that you just talked about, Mitchell, you know, Ja Morant, now, guess what they're getting now? Taste of postseason experience, that hunger. The regular season to them, it's going to drive them even more. So that's why there is that pressure, right, to get literally, B.I., Zion. You got to get playoff experience, man, because without that, you're just not going to be forged in the crucible of fires. You know, kind of the thing that I kind of look at in the NBA.
Exactly. There's so many reasons you want young guys experience success early when they're headed for some kind of stardom, like the Pelicans have. Obviously, Zion will be. You hope that Brandon will, right? He's an NBA, has been an NBA All-Star. But these guys have yet to taste success in the NBA, and I think that's more important than anything. Because you need to, first of all, I think that puts your name out there, that puts your team out there, that gains the respect. But that matters when it comes to fans, to games, the way they're refereed and such. And, of course, that's also a motivation tool, right? If you're coming back in every offseason, no trip to the playoffs or even the play-in tournament, it's got to weigh on you. It's got to weigh on you heavily, and you've got to start wondering about your future. So either way, it doesn't create for a good locker room, I feel like. It's not the component to where you want to begin a season, right? Okay, well, this is going to be the year. You always have that attitude. That doesn't work, right? It doesn't seem like the teams that have always been perennial losers ever climb out of it, no matter how great a draft pick they get or these young stars. They're always stuck in these holes. So I think you've got to break through that so these young guys do experience that success. And it's got to start next year. It should have started this year. They should have at least made the play-in tournament. But we've talked about that ad nauseum, but it needs to start next year without a doubt. So Griffin, he's got to figure out a way to make this team make a seismic jump, and you've got to think, what, at least 8-10 more wins minimum. And I won't be happy with the playing term. I don't think a lot of people will be. They got to get in the playoffs next year.
Saturday and Sunday in the East, they already have everything set for the second round. Philly and Atlanta, what do you think of that series? And Brooklyn and Milwaukee, which kind of, it seems like the conference finals game, right? But those are the two second-round matchups that begin on Sunday, Philly-Atlanta, Saturday, Brooklyn-Milwaukee.
So I am dying to see the Bucks and the Nets just like everybody else. And especially for New Orleans, you got Drew Holiday. I want to see Milwaukee experience the success because I'm so happy that Giannis decided to stay, even though he needs probably a little motivation, like Drew coming over. But you want to see a young team that's in a small market succeed. So it can give you hope. Say for the Pelicans, that the stars will stay as long as you win. So it's a big series, and you're right, it's going to feel like the finals. You've got perhaps one of the best teams we've seen, at least in the last decade, right? You got Irving, Harden, and Durant together. And even though they've got flaws, defensively they've got holes, that firepower is overwhelming. So it's going to be fun to see what Milwaukee can do to offset that and score enough. The Philly-Atlanta Hawks game, I'll tell you what, Joel Embiid having a small tear in his meniscus, that's problematic. Yeah. Even if he just misses maybe one game, you got to think his mobility is going to be compromised. And guess what? If Trae Young's going to put you in a pick and roll, what are you going to do? That means, you know, Joel Embiid's going to be on the move a ton. You know, Capella likes to fly around, get to the rim. So Joel's going to be forced to move around a lot, and I don't think that's a good combination. So I think there's a potential for an upset there. I really do. Even though Philly, right, they're deep. They've got a lot of good pieces. They don't have the success from years past, so you don't have that much faith in Ben Simmons possibly leading them with Tobias Harris. And then with the way the Hawks are playing, right? I mean, Trae Young is acting like he's one of the top five players in the league, and he's got a lot of good guys around him, including Bogdanovich, DeAndre Hunter. All these guys are up for it. They're playing well. They're making shots. So that's going to be a great series too.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, we're still waiting to see what's going to be eventually happening here in the West. We knew the West was going to be competitive. So we still got to wait and see what happens with game six coming up in Dallas. Clippers there. They're down 3-2, as we touched on. Denver and Portland, you're going to see game six tonight on TNT. Do you think they force a game seven here?
Absolutely. Damian Lillard is not going to lose on his home court in the game six, look how many games he's had where we're all screaming on Twitter. What is he doing? That's ridiculous. I mean, that last game, to make the shot to get into the overtime, then he made the one at the end of overtime to force the second overtime. He's incredible. So I just personally want to see Damian keep playing, right? Everybody, I think, wants to. But I do. I think that, you know, this has been a series where each team is just throwing haymakers. So now it's Portland's turn. I think they will. They'll step up to that task.
All right, man. Save the best for last. I saw the report this morning, and I'm with you. Believe me, I would love Chris Paul in here, but he is planning to decline his player option after the season ends. And that player option, dude, is $44.4 million because he wants a longer multi-year deal. I can't imagine Phoenix lets him get away from that aspect of it, but that's kind of a backstory line to this. He went down. You saw him get that shoulder wrapped after the game and everything. Dude, I you know you're going to get the Lakers' last stand here, right? Do you see a game seven? I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do too. They're going to be playing out in L.A. LeBron James, that crowd, that's going to be enough, even if Anthony Davis can't go. So, no, that's unfortunately going to go seven games, you've got to think. And then, boy, hopefully Chris Paul will be healthy enough. But I'll tell you what, I'm not too worried for Phoenix, if I'm Phoenix, that Chris Paul may leave, just to touch on this contract issue. I think that he's smart. Look, we see he has an injury usually towards the end of the season now for, what, four straight years?
Yeah.
I think he's smart to opt out and go ahead and get, like, say, a three-year $90 million, right? Because that body's going to keep on breaking down. So if he doesn't do it and say he suffers a big injury next year, boy, he's not going to get that contract he seeks after the following season. So I think Phoenix has a good chance to keep him. They've built something special. And, look, who else can really afford Chris Paul out in the free agency that he wants to go to, right? So, yeah, I mean, he's there, happy for him and Monty, but boy, you wish you could have seen Chris Paul come back to New Orleans, man. I don't think it's going to happen.
I know. He's fun to watch, dude. I'm not even lying to you. I am rooting for him, for sure, and Drew on the other side. It'd be kind of cool to kind of see two players that used to be here kind of meet up. I don't know. I'm enjoying these playoffs, though. It's been very competitive. Let's see what happens. The editor-in-chief of The Bird writes, his name is Ali Cosell. Thanks for joining us today, buddy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care, Gus. Talk to you soon.
For sure. Follow him on Twitter at OLEHKOSEL, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, already in Eugene, Oregon. We will chat with him about the regional up there. Tigers will play tomorrow, late night, take a nap. Should be able to check them out. It'll be like, I think, 9:30 here locally, or 8:30, somewhere around there. We'll figure it out. We'll talk to Chris next on ESPN New Orleans. You was born outside of the law.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event. Whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert, Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
When a parent struggles with addiction or dies from a drug overdose, what happens to their children? Far too many end up in foster care, unable to ever return to their birth homes because it's simply not safe. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is fighting the clock so that teens don't age out of foster care, leaving them at a higher risk of addiction and other negative outcomes that can happen to a child without the love and stability of a permanent family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Life hacks. What would life be without them? Like using candle wax to loosen a stuck zipper. Here's another life hack. Now you can get the same high-quality insurance from Allstate, but at a new low rate. With Allstate, you can lower your rates, not your expectations. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today.
In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Not available in every state. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Can we talk
sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003 is the way to give us a buzz if you'd like to chime in here. We'll get a hold of Chris Blair here in a quick second as the Tigers will be playing over in Eugene, Oregon. And that will be tomorrow. Couple of SEC teams obviously hosting. We know Arkansas over in Fayetteville. They're hosting, in case you don't know or haven't thought of the teams that are going there. Fayetteville, Arkansas, Austin, Texas, is hosting there. And again, in Ruston, we're going to talk with Sean Fox here coming up a little bit. They're hosting over there. Alabama, I guess the bigger of the name teams that you will know, NC State and Rider, the other three teams over in the Ruston regional. In Gainesville, Florida is your school there. South Florida, Miami, South Alabama, the teams there. Stanford is hosting. South Bend, Notre Dame is hosting there. Michigan playing up there along with UConn. Over in Lubbock, Texas, you got Texas Tech as Army, UCLA, UNC, the four teams there. In Starkville, Mississippi State is hosting. Samford, VCU, and Campbell are the teams in the Starkville region. Over in Tucson, Arizona is the host. GCU, Grand Canyon, Oklahoma State, UCSB in the Tucson regional. Over in Fort Worth, TCU, the host, McNeese is there, one of the three Louisiana teams, Oregon State, and DBU. As we mentioned, three teams going there. La Tech is hosting. McNeese is over in Fort Worth. And up in Eugene, Oregon, of course, is LSU, as they'll be getting ready to take on Gonzaga. Let's bring in the voice of the LSU Tigers now as he joins us, Mr. Chris Blair. Sir, how did it feel like this morning waking up in the 50s per your tweet?
Oh, it actually felt really good. It was kind of a shock to the system. It's been a while. But yeah, it felt good at 54 degrees to get outside, take a stroll on Eugene. There's not a cloud in the sky. I think the high temperature today actually is going to warm up to a balmy 82. But that's about the end of the heat wave. They tell us tomorrow we'll probably be in the upper 70s, and we may touch the overnight temperatures into the upper 40s on both Saturday and even lower 40s on Sunday.
Wow. Well, considering that obviously LSU's going to be playing, you know, in the evening, I guess it'll be chilly. It'll feel like the West Coast and watching those, you know, San Francisco Giant games where people are bundled up late at night.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of odd. You know, I was looking early this morning about, you know, setting up the time, and I'm like, wow, that's 9 p.m. Central. That's 10 o'clock on the East Coast for Gonzaga and LSU. And, you know, I was actually talking to my mother, and my mom was like, what time are you going to be on? And I said, well, you may have to drink a few cups of coffee because where you are, it's going to be 10 o'clock first pitch. And so she was like, wow. I was like, you can do it, though. Hopefully it'll be a great game. The Tigers get off to a winning start in this regional. And I got to tell you guys, the mentality, the mood of the team, we traveled over yesterday by charter. The guys are loose. I think a lot of pressure and all the questions about what was going to happen at the end of the year with Coach Maneri and, you know, all that stuff. I think that's all behind them now. They're healthy. The blessing of losing, I think, early in Hoover was the fact that some guys are healthy. And, you know, I think you're going to have maybe – as strong a Tiger team, both physically and mentally, than we've had in a couple, several weeks, in fact.
9 o'clock Central, as Chris said, we'll be playing Gonzaga. But the Tigers, you mentioned, obviously, maybe kind of feeling loose and getting, be able to get rest out of that. But, look, let's be honest. I got to ask you what it's been like with the Paul Maneri announcement when we all found out on Friday, but I did gather in speaking to everybody that it wasn't as much a surprise to perhaps a lot of people outside of the area, campus, and building. That said, man, you see the video of the team boarding the bus from the bus drivers, a lot of relationships. It's hard to believe he's been there 15 years, and obviously you've gotten a chance to get to know him and meet him. What's it like knowing that this is it for him?
It's kind of surreal. But to be honest with you, I'm in that same boat. You know, last Friday during the press conference, it really wasn't a big surprise. I mean, not that I knew that was coming, but, you know, having been with him now six seasons and understanding at times, he didn't really feel 100%. And you got to imagine, I haven't gone through this yet, knock on wood, but I've had a lot of people in my life older than me who, you know, regardless of what their job is, doesn't matter. You know, at the point where physically you can't give it 100%, then it starts to weigh on you more and more as each day goes by. There's a mental stress, there's physical stress. And, you know, when you're leading the LSU baseball program, which the bar is already ridiculously high, and you can't get, I mean, because 100% won't cut it. I mean, you got to have 110, 115% every day of the year. to keep that program where everybody expects it to be. And if you're physically not at 100%, then you certainly can't put out 115%. And listening to his press conference, you know, it was clear that that wasn't the only decision, but I think it was a big part of the decision. And let's face it, you know, he's closing in on his mid-60s. I don't want to date him. But he's got a great family. He's got a growing group of grandchildren. And I thought it was interesting, Gus, that he said there's plenty of things on his bucket list, and one of those is to go visit his former players, both from the Air Force, both from Notre Dame, both from LSU, and go see how they're doing. Now, some of them are playing Major League Baseball, but some of them are raising families and contributing to society and all those good things. And I think, as he said, I want to go see the fruits of my 39 years and go visit with them while I'm still relatively healthy and we can catch up. So I thought it was interesting he brought up that point, and I think, again, that was another piece that probably had a lot to do with his decision.
Yeah, and you know this, obviously, from the job that you do, speaking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, there is a lot of time where you don't stop and, what's the saying, Chris, smell the roses, right? Just legitimately spend time. I mean, when you get a weekend off or that bye weekend, oh, so that's what my kids and wife look like in the fall or spring. You know, I mean, sometimes you have those 2 months during the season where multiple sports coincide. And I get it. And when you do that for years, that sounds so profound, yet, man, that's true. Life is so precious and short. And unfortunately, the only time we ever reflect on that is when we lose somebody, and then you realize how short that is. So, you know, good for him from that aspect of it, that he realizes that, and it is important.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, you know, my schedule is fairly busy from August through, well, now it'll be June. Mm-hmm. That's typically the calendar for me. But I in no way am anywhere close to the amount of time that these coaches have to put into their programs. And I hear people all the time say, you know, leading a Power 5 football program, what a dream job, get paid millions of dollars, so on and so forth. If you really took a peek behind the curtain at the pressure, at the work, at the untold hours, you know, it might not be so good, because you can't go see your daughter's dance recital, or you can't go see your son play baseball, or you can't get home to see your parents having their 50th or 60th anniversary. Those things, you know, we all kind of take for granted. But when you're a head coach, really anywhere in college, but certainly at the Power 5 level, I mean, there's just not a whole lot of time for anything but your sport. And, yes, you're paid handsomely for it. It's a high-risk, high-reward job.
It is. And as we know around in the SEC, whether pick a sport now, really, there's always pressure to win. I saw an interesting stat, which is just nuts for me, that only 14 wins have come against Nick Saban in Alabama. So somebody posted that today. I think it was Fox College Sports that did that. I'm like, yikes. LSU has the second most. Auburn has the most at 5. And I think LSU has 4 against them. That's it. It's a bunch of teams with 1 win. It just kind of puts into perspective just what he's been able to do over there. Look, Chris, let's wrap up, obviously, with what this regional is. We spoke with Wilson Alexander earlier in the week, and he goes, look, this regional's tough. The team that LSU was playing, they were one of the schools that was kind of pre-selected to be a host team if they would have been able to host in Gonzaga. So not a cupcake first game for sure, right?
No, I mean, Gonzaga's a good team. They got 33 wins. The only thing that's a little suspect to me is their conference mark in a fairly weak Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Again, their RPI is 27, so they're slightly ahead of the Tigers at the end of the regular season. So as much as we've touted the strength of schedule and RPI for LSU, you kind of have to tip your cap to the Bulldogs as well. But again, I want to say the 20-16 is their conference record, if memory serves, in a conference that certainly year-to-year is not known for great college baseball. So it'll be interesting to see. However, the guy that will pitch against the Tigers tomorrow is pretty salty. You know, he's got a ton of strikeouts compared to walk. His walk-to-strikeout ratio is eye-popping. He got in a little bit of trouble earlier in the year against Dallas Baptist. He was ejected for a game because he had some glove stickies that the umpires found. I think at that point he had 11 strikeouts through 4 innings. So hopefully that's not going to be an issue tomorrow. But, you know, Coach Maneri told the media, told us hanging out at the airport yesterday, that this guy is a legit arm and has the ability to keep you off balance. He's not an overpowering thrower. I think 86, 89 is kind of the scouting report on his fastball, but he's got a pretty wicked breaking ball and a slider and can change speeds quite a bit. And, you know, I've seen pitchers with that type of repertoire be pretty successful against LSU. So we'll have to wait and see. But, again, you know, you got Landon Marceau going. I'll good money's on the fact that he's going to give you a good enough outing to win. To me, it's the same story it's been all season for this Tiger squad. It's all about the offense. They got to get started early. They got to get started often. Yeah. Landon Marceau is going to do what needs to be done to win. The LSU offense has to do what needs to be done to help Landon Marceau get that victory.
You wonder, Chris, if perhaps, too, knowing that this is Coach Maneri's last thing, too, if that provides anything else, you know, a little extra energy or not, I don't know, you know. But we will see, obviously. What happens at 9 o'clock? I'm gonna take a nap if you don't mind. I'll make sure so I can watch that game. I'm kidding, but it should be fun.
Yeah, I'll be taking a nap too. I mean, I got up. I'm still my body's still on Central Time. I was up this morning at 4:45.
Oh,
I'm like, wait a minute, that's actually only 6:45 according to my body. But so yeah, I'll probably get a nap in too. I mean, that's a pretty late start, 7 p.m. locally here in Eugene, Oregon. But looking forward to it, and I think you know. I think, as I said, the pressure's off LSU. The pressure's off Coach Paul Maneri. Everything's been decided now. Just go out and play and play the sport you have fun playing. And I think if LSU does that, they're not only going to be tough to tangle with in a regional, they're going to be tough to tangle with the rest of the way.
Interesting. Oregon, the host school, 37-14 on the season as well with the Ducks. So we'll see if they get a chance to play them the very next day. Got to win the first one first, though. Chris, appreciate the time. Go enjoy the rest of the day because it's hot and steamy already back here, as you know. So go walk around and enjoy the cool air as long as you can.
Yeah, I may have to go get my pullover on. It's a little chilly out here. Y'all have fun.
At LSU Tigers Voice. Go give a follow and, of course, the LSU Sports Radio Network. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, John.
All right, so that's one Louisiana school, Louisiana Tech. They're hosting up in Ruston. Sean Fox will join us next to talk about them on ESPN New Orleans when we return.
And Sundays pass on by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at southerntrailerworks.com.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well, well, well. I have to bring in my good old buddy, good old friend, Sean Fox. You follow him on Twitter at Fox4SportsTalk, 97.7 up there in the Ruston Monroe area. I don't even know the name of your show. I just call it Sports Hangover Lights. Sean, how are you?
That's the biggest compliment I've ever had.
Is it Fox and Company or something? You have so many people that I don't. Is it Fox and Friends? Is it
okay? So
you know, Fox and everyone.
I'll clarify it. So it was Fox and Company for years, and I took a 4-year hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, it was the sports company, and I just never changed it back. So
it's the sports company.
Sports company, yeah.
Because I really,
it's
honestly,
me, I
don't
host
know.
Every day and have a different co-host every day.
You know what? I don't know when I'm supposed to be on. I'm on your show every Friday, and I honestly don't know. How long?
It's probably 12, 13 years.
Wow.
I come on your show once a year. You come on mine every week. That's okay.
Well, I mean, it's only when it's important, and this is important.
It's
because,
very rarely important in North Louisiana. I get it. It's the bias. I understand.
But in all honesty, it is. Look, obviously, Southern Miss is in Conference USA. We love to have a little fun on the air about that with Tech and obviously the Eagles. But let's just kind of start there before we get to how big this really is for a number of reasons that there's a regional in Ruston. First and foremost, the Conference USA champion, well, tournament, it felt like a championship series. They've played like 600 times this year. It felt like a regional to me, dude. You were there at those games. What was it like?
Gus, I mean, look, you and I give each other back and forth, and we want to see our team win. But I got a lot of respect for the Golden Eagle program, and that's where Louisiana Tech wants to get to, right? Where your guys, Southern Miss is in a regional year in and year out. They host conference tournaments. They host NCAA regionals. This is all kind of new to Louisiana Tech. And I'll just tell you real quick, Gus, when I went there in 2000 and I was staying at the dorms across the street from the stadium, they were up high enough where I could look into the stadium and count the amount of people in the baseball game. Now, you saw the atmosphere and look where we are now. I mean, it has come, I mean, a complete 180. And they played 11 times this year. 11. This isn't the Yankees and the Red Sox. This is the Cubs and the Cardinals. This is college baseball where they played 11 times this season. Conference USA went to four game conference schedules. They played four times in Ruston, four times in Hattiesburg, and lo and behold, they played three more times in the conference tournament. And every single game was a close one. Yeah. Every single one of them. And listen, I get it. I grew up an LSU fan. I still am an LSU fan. We have LSU sports on our station. I know the power of the SEC. I know the SEC tournament is the end-all, be-all. I will tell you that two things. Tech and Southern Miss was the best college baseball rivalry in the country this year. Don't think it's debatable. And Conference USA for one season. Gus, you saw it on TV. It was the best tournament in the country this year.
Yeah, considering those two teams that you just talked about didn't win. I mean, did he win the tournament? And, you know, it's just
ODU ended up winning the tournament. And ODU,
right?
I mean, they pretty much lived Ruston. And if anybody loved a love shack more than Tech, it's ODU. Those guys came a week early, played a 2-game set with Tech before the tournament, won those two games, and never lost there.
Interesting. You said there, and it's one of the reasons why this is a special weekend for Ruston. Let's not forget, and it's sort of along the lines, and you know, I'll give you credit. It was a heck of a tweet earlier this morning where you brought up McNeese playing and then also specifically though Ruston. They've been affected by natural disasters, and we kind of forget what took place up there in Northwest Louisiana.
Yeah, so you don't even know what the geography. We're in Northeast Louisiana, but that's all right, Gus.
Ruston is Northwest for me, buddy. Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's your southern. Now I even forgot what we were even talking about. But yeah,
go look at a map. Go look at a map.
Root. So my whole thing is we've been promoting is Root for the Boot, right? Because we've got four teams from Louisiana there, and we don't believe that Louisiana cuts off at Alexandria, that there is in North South Louisiana. We all want everybody to be successful. And you look at, I think we've, and I might have a bias, but I think you'd agree with me. Three teams, like, I think we've got the best storyline, right? You got Paul Maneri, who is doing his swan song, his last dance at LSU. You've got McNeese State, who, God love those folks. They've been through so much over a year. And then you've got Louisiana Tech, who 2 years ago, they had a tornado hit the town, and specifically three facilities got destroyed. The softball field, the baseball field, and the soccer field. And what's interesting, and if you watch any of the Conference USA Tournament on TV or see Louisiana Tech at all this season, you'll notice that in left and center field, there's apartment complexes. It's a really cool field in the outfield. And how it didn't get hit, these apartments during the tornado 2 years ago, mm-hmm. absolute miracle, because it literally went right next to the center field apartment complexes and tore the stadium in half. To the point where this wasn't a simple fix. You needed to start from scratch. Hmm. So before the pandemic started and shut down the season, Louisiana Tech was scheduled, and they played a few baseball games in 2020 at Ruston High, home games in Jackson, Mississippi, and home games at a rival school, ULM. Now, they didn't get to do all of that. I don't even think they got to conference play. They were going to play in Jackson, but they did have to play at Ruston High. They did finish the regular season in 2019, not playing in their home stadium. And lo and behold, 2 years later, they're hosting a regional at their brand new. And it really is one of the best. Now, it's not the size of Alex Box, and it's not Duty Noble as far as pure size, but as far as how nice it is and how well it was designed, they don't really take a backseat to anybody. And that was one of the things they wanted to do, was to get to this situation. The old J.C. Love Field, it wouldn't have been able to handle a college baseball regional. Lo and behold, you do it right. The program is on an upward trajectory, and in its first year back, I think absolutely earned the right to host the tournament. And if it's anything like the atmosphere last year, which we can touch on, or last week, you're in for a treat this weekend at the Love Shack.
I love it. I love the name of, you know, I think it's really cool. I love it. Sports
so
Talk.
So it's J.C. Love Field at Pat Patterson Park. There you go. Just simple nickname, the Love Shack.
There it is. Sports Talk 97.7. Sean Fox hosts some show that I think, what is it called again? Sports Company?
Sports Hangover Light.
Yeah, I like that one better, quite honestly. Yeah. Yeah. At Fox Sports.
The North Louisiana Hangover. There you go.
Let's just go with North. I mean, Ruston's in the center. Monroe's there. Shreveport's the city, I'm thinking. I keep forgetting y'all even in the state. At Fox 4 Sports
Talk. Most people do. The air does get a little rarer up here past Alexandria.
Give us a preview of this regional, man. Can Tech get out of it?
I think they absolutely can. I would say if I had to pick a favorite going in, it would be NC State. I mean, I think the Wolfpack is playing its best baseball right now. They started extremely slow, but they've caught steam. They have a great – and actually, I mean, for those of you who follow college baseball, you know, NC State's got a great baseball tradition, right? Being in a regional is nothing new to them. I would say they're the favorite. But, Gus, I'll tell you why Louisiana Tech has a chance. And, you know, we live in the Bible Belt in North Louisiana, and a lot of times this place – they had great crowds all year. But it's more like, yay, good job, T.Y., great hit. It's like a golf clap, but it's almost like people were embarrassed to get into it. Well, we had challenged our listeners all last week that, man, look, it's one thing to show up, but make a difference. Mm-hmm. Get into the game, it's okay. And that first time that Southern Miss beat Louisiana Tech in the conference tournament 4-1, look, you guys brought a great crowd. And, again, I got a lot of respect for that baseball tradition. Coach Lane Burroughs said, look, I felt like I was in Hattiesburg tonight. And I think a lot of Louisiana Tech fans took that to heart. And the rest of the way, that was arguably the best atmosphere I've ever seen at a Louisiana Tech sporting event ever. I mean, wow. These people were into it. I mean, playing Sandstorm and just the crowd going nuts, hanging on every pitch. And it's one of those things that the crowd, and I'll give them credit, when Southern Miss jumped out to the 8-0 lead, did it slow the momentum up a little bit? Absolutely. But it's almost like that they got that first run to make it 8-1, and it's almost like the whole crowd.
Yeah, we don't need to go over that again.
No. But my point is,
you know, Tech's ready to go.
This is a crowd that I was proud of. They didn't give up.
Right.
It wasn't over, and I really do think they fed off that. I think the crowd is what won them the game, mm-hmm. and I think if they can duplicate that, which they're going to have the opportunity then some, because this is a 2,300-seat stadium that every school gets 200 tickets. Well, obviously that went quickly. Well, then it went to the season ticket holders, and they call it the LTAC donors. That sold out. There's spots. I'm just saying they're utilizing all different spots. Like there's a left field patio where those apartments are. There are usually free tickets that they've roped off and sold 250 of them.
Wow.
There's a spot in the outfield that they've sold 400 of. This will be the most people to watch a college baseball game in probably North Louisiana history. I mean, people are going to be hanging from the rafters this weekend.
All you got to do is go beat Ryder. Do you even know what the Ryder Riders are? What are they?
They're pretty much the Sports Hangover light of baseball.
What, Ryder? What,
they're the
like
Broncos.
Horse?
They're the Broncos? I was corrected when I said Broncos yesterday, and somebody said it's actually the Bronx, and I was like, well, thanks. A-hole. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry I called it the Broncos instead of the Bronx.
Well, you know what? At 6 o'clock tomorrow, let's hope Louisiana Tech does that. No, it is awesome. That's why I wanted to get you on to provide some perspective and to also give you a little business on. You did at least tweet, are you coming on? You could have added jumping on with my good buddy Gus Kattengell, host of The Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Instead, you know, you just put on the
I don't want to mislead the audience, Gus.
You don't even know my Twitter handle, do you? You don't even know it, do you?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out.
Exactly. At Fox 4 Sports
to the
Talk.
Top.
I mean, can
to
you
the top.
Yeah, you know what? We'll get you next year. How did football? That's right. Never mind. I'm not bringing up football either. Tech's kind of got our number this year.
I can't wait to play you 15 times next season.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the time,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Keep up the good work, buddy. Appreciate it.
See you.
Hour number one is in the books, just like that. It's been brought to you by The King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring The King, 504-909-KI.